You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Safe to say most of us have a pretty fair idea just how the auto business works, including that basic fact that the vehicles rolling off those assembly lines are going to be driven by people. Detroit News business columnist Daniel Howes is here to say, think again. This is not your father's auto industry. Daniel, you point to a couple big developments in recent days showing that the times are changing. Let's start with that news from Germany.
A German federal administrative court ruled to allow cities in Germany to ban diesel-powered vehicles from parts of the city. Now, if you know anything about the German auto industry or the European auto industry, you know that diesel engines have been a very large piece of the fleet, particularly across the range, frankly, whether it was mass market or premium. But in some countries, you could have segments in the premium sectors of 50, 60, 75% of a class or a sector could have been diesel-powered engines. This is a huge development. This has been part of the fabric of the industry for decades. It's part of the revenue and profit models of the likes of Daimler, BMW, Volkswagen, all those companies. And now all of a sudden in the heart of the industry is saying, look, we're going to allow you to start banning these vehicles from your cities because you think pollution is getting worse, and it is. Mm. And I think it wasn't helped, of course, by the diesel scandal from Volkswagen.
Which one is reminded of every time you drive along Updike Road and see those abandoned VWs parked at what used to be the Silverdome parking lot where they're storing, and there's a lot of them that have been turned in.
That's exactly right.
What would be the equivalent of this action here in the U.S.?
Well, I mean, as I point out in the column, I think you could think of a situation where American regulators would say to the car company or to communities, you can ban large SUVs and big pickup trucks from your city because they take up too much space, they're too noisy, and they're too dirty. And I think that would be about the rough equivalent. I mean, those are the cash cows of the industry. But I think it really signifies some real sectoral changes. We have grown very accustomed in the traditional markets around the world, Germany being a great example, the United States being another example, of how the industry works. And we know how the industry works, and we will tell you how it works. Well, there's a lot of things that are happening out in the marketplace today that are dramatically changing a lot of those assumptions. And I think, you know, we saw this movie before here in Detroit in the 60s and into the 1970s when all of a sudden the Asian manufacturers, led by a couple of Japanese manufacturers, started to come into this country and everybody laughed at them. And they said, it's never going to change. You know, we just won the war, you know, 25 years earlier. It's not going to change. And we kidded ourselves. And all of a sudden, the whole industry changed. And I think some of that is happening now. It's very competitive. And technology is having a dramatic effect on how people define transportation and what transportation really is and what they need and what they don't need.
And to that point, tell us what's just happened in California.
California regulators have said that they're pulling what's called the safety driver out of autonomous vehicles. So right now, under certain regulations, if you're going to test autonomous vehicles, you have to have someone actually in the car sitting behind the wheel with a foot poised to hit the brake if necessary. I've been in one of those vehicles, and in the case I was in, it was just a very basic drive around an industrial park neighborhood. I don't know that the driver even touched anything. I don't remember, frankly. Mm. But that's what the person's there for. But again, I think you really have an indication of how this is changing, and the technology is coming very quickly, and it's not just the tech people that are doing it. Government regulators are trying to take down barriers to facilitate the testing and development of these kinds of vehicles. And if I had a dime for every person who writes me or calls me and says, well, I'm never going to get in one of those cars. I'm never going to put my family in one of those cars. I'm certainly not going to buy one, to which I say, it's not about you. It's not about you in middle America so much. It's about people in places like Shanghai and Guangzhou, where the cities are very crowded, the pollution is bad. In Mumbai, mm-hmm. It's people like my daughter who lives in Washington, D.C., and does not own a car and doesn't need a car. It's more of a headache than anything else. Or people in San Francisco or in Manhattan who, again, don't need the vehicle. They just need to be able to get from one place to the other fairly short distances and then walk away.
So when GM's Mary Barra declares the auto industry will be changing more in the next 5 years than it has in the past 50?
I think she's right. And I think these examples are just two indications of why she's right. And frankly, I don't hear people who are in the industry and the leadership positions saying she's wrong. I'm a big believer in pay attention to what people do, not what they say. And a lot of these companies are doing and acting as if this change is real and it's enduring and it's going to continue to come. One of the real big debates about what's happening at Ford Motor Company right now is we can see what's happening at General Motors. We can see how General Motors is behaving very differently than the old GM. The jury is somewhat out on Ford. Is Ford actually going to practice what it preaches? And I think people are expecting that in the next couple of months, they're going to detail that in much greater detail than they have thus far.
Detroit News business columnist Daniel House. Thanks, Daniel.
Thank you.